Good evening, everybody. It is about 9:50 p.m., July 30th, 2025, and I want to talk about something that I find very passionate about, that I find myself very passionate about, and I've talked extensively on it on the website itself. However, I think that it's a good time to touch on a very specific aspect of prepping. It is something that was always existed in the in right-wing politics. Gun culture begets military culture, begets prepper culture, and prepper culture has always been used as kind of a scare tactic in politics and online, as well as in documentaries, that there's always the one guy that is going to survive the apocalypse no matter what it is, and they're absolutely insane, they're hyper paranoid. And usually ends up being like a pseudo antagonist because of their lifestyle. However, after I've had to move and restart my life and rebuild my house and redo all of these different projects, whether it be water or solar or the internet, and just trying to find ways to make these projects work, I have used to have almost a bad habit of data hoarding, and that data hoarding eventually ended up entertaining my family for almost a year. Between all of the content that I have saved over many, many years, with collecting laptops and other computers, hard drives, and converting them into server racks, and running home labs and local servers, and just like having these like DAS or direct ex attached storage devices hooked up to my computers over time. So eventually it entertained my family for about a year, and it saved a lot of fuss and headache. However, I think this is a topic in prepper culture that's not addressed directly. I would like to write something more extensive about it, because it is something that I feel like we kind of just lose base on. We're always worried about the core essentials: food, water, shelter. Whenever a thing is established, because it's not going to be a sudden abrupt stop, you're not going to stop going to the grocery store tomorrow if shit hits the fan. You're not going to stop going to work tomorrow when shit hits the fan. When shit hits the fan, like as we've seen in Ukraine, when they're fighting an active war on their lines, you're going to still have to get these essentials. I've played and talked to many people online, and played with games online with people from Ukraine. I mean, hell, they still have cell phone service. I mean, that was a big thing where people were posting on Reddit. However, the connectivity of those things are fickle. They are intermediate, and you don't know where the shelling's going to come from. And so when shit hits the fan in America, and I'm not saying it ever will, I'm not saying that in present day, present time, we're not the closest we've ever been to an absolute civil war, or the internal politics of America is just absolutely shitwalling and falling apart, and causing people from both sides of the political ideology spectrum to absolutely lose their minds and go insane. And there's just a very small minority of the far right that is trying to gaslight everybody else into thinking that everything is fine, even though that 98% of the population in America is aware that everything is not fine. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is that there is a small aspect of prepper culture that isn't really talked about, and that is digital prepping. Digital prepping, I feel, is something that is extremely necessary to keep you sane. If we saw in COVID that when we're locked inside of our house, if we're bugging in, if you will, over the course of an entire year, you tend to go a little stir crazy and get some cabin fever, and really all you want to do is play Animal Crossing. You don't know what you're doing with your life. You wake up every day in a haze of Animal Crossing confusion. And I feel like if we could break that down into its core essentials of what you feel like I think everyone should use or everyone should need in case tomorrow the internet goes out. I'm not saying you won't be able to go to work. I'm not saying you won't be able to have internet service, but it might be so bogged down and so intermittent that you might not be able to have access to YouTube, to your email and your Netflix and all those things that you like to stream and pay for, because hardware and physical media doesn't exist anymore. What do you do to kill the potentially weeks or months that you're going to have to stay in a majority of the time to just wait for hell to freeze over? So the first thing I would like to say is collect hardware when you can. Laptops and computers are a resource that we toss away into the dumpster more often than not. Your local Goodwill, your local salvage supply store can have hundreds and hundreds of these really well-versed, cheap, functional laptops that maybe have a dead battery or a dead laptop screen that you can hook up to a TV or a monitor. Other times you have your desktop computers that it's like, oh yeah, it just had 4 gigs of RAM and it was just a power hungry machine back in the dark distant time of 2005. Well, turns out running Debian Stable or an Arc Linux or a live disk perhaps, minimal distro of your choosing, can bring that machine back to life. You don't need the 4 gigs of RAM to watch your pirated movies on MPV or GNOME Video or what have you. And so those hardware scraps that people throw away end up being a very valuable resource. You can use them as a backup TV stations, backup entertainment centers. And how you would use those machines, I'll break down here. But the first thing is take all those hard drives, take all the hard drives out, save those hard drives. If it's 180 gigs to a terabyte, just anything that has a reasonable amount of storage to save some kind of physical media, right? I usually end up taking, so how my setup is currently, because I've developed this and collected this over a entire year plus some, is I have 2 8-terabyte hard drives running in RAID 0. Not secure, not very good for backups, but I have those 16 gigs for all of my data storage. I have another 16 gigs, 16 terabytes, and I have another 16 terabytes that is periodically backed up and then put in a protective sealed bag, just in case I don't want it to get damaged, I don't want it to get dropped or stolen or lost. So I back those up, I put them in a poly wrapped cooler to prevent from static electricity discharge, heat and cold and everything else. And then I have a separate 16 gigs on top of that, or 16 terabytes on top of that, that is routinely backed up. This is more consistent. This is a mirror of the RAID 0. I like to keep those two things separated because one is a DAS, the other one is running on a local network. And so I like to keep those things separated. One is for my personal use, the other one is for my family and friends to come over and then like, hey, download this movie. I have this movie. You want to download it? Download it onto your phone. Hey, bring your laptop or your tablet over and then I have all of this stuff for you. If you want to download, all of these textbooks, if you haven't had the latest D&D textbook, I have the latest D&D textbook. Come over and download that. We'll hang out and have beers. But while you're taking all those hard drives, finding a good way to sync them up and network them together and find your way to back up all these resources, first thing you want to do is make physical copies of passwords, driver's licenses, family photos, birth certificates, marriage certificates, health insurance policies, car policies, your will and other legal documents, key work documents, things that you would use on a daily basis, but that you can kind of store them away. Scan those in, make physical copies, put them in a binder, make digital copies, save them onto the 3 separate storage units. You know, one that's a DAS, one that's a NAS, one that's off, you know, somewhere else that's hidden or off-site. And, you know, that's a fundamental rule for backups. For videos, I use YouTube DLP or YTDLP. I have currently, just from YouTube and other like YouTube type video resources alone, I am currently looking at, let's see, pulling it up, 3.8 terabytes. 3.8 terabytes of just different YouTube channels I've downloaded over the years. I find it very useful to have these with videos as well. If you want to go ahead and, you could legally do this, you can legally rip DVDs that you have. I'm not going to do that because I think that's ridiculous. You know, but I have 414 gigabytes of TV shows, just different TV shows that are extremely long, that are all, you know, 10, 12 seasons long, Friends, Seinfeld, X-Files, you know, there's also House MD on there, some cartoons. I've downloaded all the Scooby-Doo's and Boomerangs and everything from, you know, 2001 to 2008 Cartoon Network. Because those things are entertaining for myself. I can nostalgia dump on those things. My wife can nostalgia dump on those things. And my kids can nostalgia dump. Or not nostalgia dump, but they can watch those things in earnest and enjoy them the way I enjoyed them. Same thing with movies. You can download as many movies as you possibly can cram into it. About 400 gigs is what I have currently in movies. And then yeah, if you are into anime, I'm into anime. My wife is into anime. My son really enjoys the Studio Ghibli films. I'm looking at about 1.5 terabytes of just anime. Whether it be, you know, anime specials, Digimon, you know, I got Shonen, and all, a range of all types of genres. My wife has a compendium of lists that she constantly tries to provide me to say, hey, download this just in case. And it's, you know, shows from her childhood that she really enjoyed. I really enjoy Saturday morning cartoons that you would find on Saturday morning Toonami when I grew up. Things like Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon. I enjoy every so often, if I'm in the mood, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and veg out on the couch. I want 2 days to myself. I would binge Yu-Gi-Oh! Probably 6 or 7 times over the course of that. So just entertainment things, but I also recommend getting web archive started. You know, of course, there's the Wayback Machine and the Internet Archive itself. You cannot rely on those things to always be available to you if you want to go and get a website. If you find something you truly enjoy online and it's a website, don't bookmark it. Put up a cron task or a cron job or some kind of like terminal task to refresh this on like an rsync thing, but immediately use wget or single file or some kind of Linux program to download that website. I do this all the time with different NeoCities websites I enjoy. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, I like the look and feel of that. You know, I did this with random prepper articles that I enjoyed. I didn't want the entire website, I would just wget the website or the article itself and save that. But you can also use Kiwix. Kiwix, I think, is a fundamental, if you look even the slightest into how internet backup or, you know, prepper disaster computer, there's always some guy, some shill out there selling you a toolbox with a Raspberry Pi for $600 and it has just Kiwix on it. Some Linux derivative, usually it's Linux Mint or Ubuntu. And it has Kiwix on it, and that's it. That's the whole thing. You spent $600 for a cooler with a Raspberry Pi in it, a wireless keyboard, and it has Kiwix. Waste of $600. You could do that yourself. You could just download Kiwix, download all of the individual Zim files. Like I have all of Khan Academy, all of Wikipedia, all the Gutenberg libraries, Stack Overflows, Crash Courses, Bookdash, all of the Army publications, pretty much anything that I could package as a Zim file, I've downloaded. If it's even remotely Wikipedia-like, I have downloaded that as Wikipedia or as a Zim file. Even some of the fanfic dot .co websites that I enjoyed. Like, my wife's really into, where I'm really into Kingdom Hearts, my wife's really into Sims. So I downloaded all the community websites for those. Just because I enjoy reading the lore, it's very extensive, very confusing, so I have to refresh my memory sometimes. So I was going to go back and play through a couple of games. She likes to know about all the different mod packs because we've downloaded all of those, but she forgets, you know, what every single one does before it crashes her computer. So I downloaded all of those. But you can also get different PDF files and ebooks, save all those. And a very useful tool I feel is a little underwhelming, but I think is very necessary, OpenStreetMap. OpenStreetMap is great. OpenStreetMap lets you download not just the country maps, but also, you know, their state maps, they have local maps, and you could download all of these things. It has interactive views. There is, you know, a way you could print off the individual blocks, and it's extremely in detail. I wouldn't say it's as good as Google Maps. I don't think anything ever will be with the amount of data that they collect. However, you can download all of OpenStreetMaps, run them as a local library, and look up anything you would like to go to, and get directions from one destination to another. I have one for my state. I have one for all the surrounding states, because of how close I am and how small Kentucky is, comparatively to every other state in the union. I have maps for local national parks. I have some for the national parks in the surrounding area, big cities, and then I also have just major highways highlighted on a national map, just to get from point A to point B. But that is the individual OpenStreetMap logs that I have personally saved. However, I have all of OpenStreetMaps downloaded, and I could like go and look up individual directions as a local library. That is something that I feel is very small, but very, very important to have, is just local maps. Getting into more, I wouldn't say entertaining or prepper oriented, but just books. I touched on this a little bit with e-publications and PDF files. Specifically, the things that you'd want to save are cookbooks. Cookbooks are great. Cookbooks always help out. The older the cookbook is, the better, I feel, because those older cookbooks are written by people who didn't have a lot or were trying to save money. So they would use ingredients that were cheap and readily available in a pantry that would save for years, and how to make different dishes with those things. Current events. So I also would say a part of my big prep is downloading daily news articles. I have a cron job set up on W4WGit to download AOL News, MSN News, Google News, and I just download those three things. I feel like those three are the biggest online news providers that are like aggregates for news, right? And so every day I download all of those. I just skim through them really quick. And then after, I want to say, I think it's about every 60 to 90 days, I delete them. Just based on what I've read or what I've seen. It's not so much to overwhelm yourself with news articles, but once the internet goes out, or if you have a day without internet, it's sometimes just good to go back and be like, oh yeah, I haven't read the daily events and 4 months, and now I'm stuck in the house for 2 weeks. I might as well catch up on all the things that I should have caught up on, you know, 4 months ago. Probably a good idea to figure out what bills are being signed into law and what things are taking place in my local community. I would also recommend downloading, this could be a part of the YTDLP thing, because there's tons and tons and tons of creators out there that do these types of projects, is just find DIY project books. Download as many of those as you can, something that you can build out of pallet wood, or things that you don't have to run to the local supply store a lot, that you can go and repurpose. DIY books can also go into how to do gardening, how to properly filter water. All of those DIY prepper books, you know, filtering water, how to clean food, how to hunt, how to clean game, all the, you know, build fires, the things that my website would typically cover. I would also recommend downloading at least 4 or 5 different resources that are similar to that. Food supply chains are another thing you can go and download. I wouldn't say so much like you don't have to go into the economics of food supply chains, but download different ways to get yourself certain types of food. Things that come from a can have to come from somewhere else. Where do those things come from? How do you produce those things? If I was to try to can something, how would I can that thing? When I get it from the source, how do I reverse engineer the can? That's a good way, to study and learn. It's a partial DIY project, but a lot of these things are pretty, very simple. If you can't boil it, you can try to cook it. If you can't cook it, you can try to freeze it. If you can't freeze it, you can try to preserve it by salting and canning or jarring. If you can't do any of those things, it's liable to spoil forever and don't eat it anyway. I would also recommend downloading things about frugality, topics on, how to save money, where, these different types of resources, because a lot of the content that's written in frugality blogs or minimalist blogs, or even just books about how to properly pinch every or pinch every penny, is really on the greater scheme of things, just how to survive with it, not as much, right? The goal of saving money is ultimately to have a lot of money, but what if the goal is just to do what you can with no money, and you're never going to have a lot of money because money is eventually going to become worthless, right? Download things about like health, wellness, survival medicines. You can go into plants and local herbs. You can go into local gardening. But also what to do with first aid kit. Everyone should have a first aid kit in their car. They should have one in their house, and they should have one on their person. The sizes will vary, but everybody should have in their wallet, I feel like, some antiseptic, a bandage, and a tourniquet. Very small. All those things can fit in your pocket. In your car, a trauma kit, trauma bag. In your house, possibly a home defibrillator, a trauma kit, and a first aid kit. But how to use those things are a completely different game. You might have all the necessary tools, but a tool is only as good as the person using it. And so I recommend downloading books or downloading files to teach you how to use those things correctly and the different purposes for those things. You can also download jobs and careers in your local area. I do this all the time with Indeed. Not so much to see, what I could be doing as a job, but to see who's hiring and when and how frequently. That's mostly just for like my personal knowledge, to say like, oh yeah, this job's always hiring, it's always advertising, it's always doing this. Every day I have a ping for a new download, new download, and it's always in like the top five. Like, why is that the case? And I can, look more into the company, but that's mostly just from like, I guess, a level of general interest. But that could also be extremely useful for your personal information in case your job lays you off, or you're gonna have several jobs that you're gonna have to do during the meantime when, like, if civil war happens and your career's failing out and you're getting cut hours. So you have to do a couple jobs to make paychecks at that point. So then you can go and call out of the different downloads you've had set up. Instead of you personally having to look for a job, you already have 6 months of history of different people looking for jobs. So you can go and call the one that you see the most and say, hey, I've seen that you've been hiring for the past 6 months. You've always had these openings. I've been looking at this for some time. And that's just kind of a tool or a resource to use to put you as a, to leverage that information as a potential employer. Say, if you've seen every advertisement they've ever made in the past year, you can go back into that hiring manager or hiring staff and say, I've seen every advertisement you've placed in the last year. I know you need people. I need a job. This is going to be great for both of us. This is mutually beneficial. Here's my experience. I've kept an eye on you guys for some time. And it sounds almost condescending, but it's extremely useful, and a lot of hiring staff actually really like to hear that they're getting heard when they're putting these advertisements out there, and they just haven't found the right candidate yet. That's more corporate shillism, But I still feel like it's kind of a it's a useful tool to have in your back pocket just in case. I also recommend downloading inspirational self-help books or mindset books. These are things that you can listen to or do or watch that just keep you motivated during really hard times. YouTube is swathed with these things. If it's your favorite anime character saying inspirational quotes, or just like that hard base workout video that you really like to just like push up to. All of those things I recommend saving, because eventually you're not going to have them. And if you don't have those things, and that's the only thing that gets you up in the morning and just kind of like makes your day a little bit more energetic with that first cup of coffee, just download it. Save it. It's going to be cringe. We all know it's cringe. But it makes your day a little more bearable. Just go ahead and do it. I also recommend downloading books about power supplies, whether it be wind, solar, or air. Or I'm sorry, wind, solar, or water wells, or water turbines. They are usually made from really cheap components. You can try to find them relatively cheap. Solar panels are harder to find, but you can usually order them in bulk. The shittier cheap ones that come with pre-generators, you can order those individual USB solar panels. I actually am running my current setup in my office off of solar. They are three 220 watt solar panels that are hooked up to a couple car batteries. There's a small inverter, and that inverter is running off of a U that inverter is placed onto a UPS, and that UPS hooks up all my stuff. So it is a very daisy chained system, but I don't have to worry about the power going out in my office. Everything else in the house can go out, my lights can go out, but I can still play games and listen to music and record and do all the things that I want to do without my project being interrupted because of a power outage. So like different things to supplement for grid energy, I would recommend reading, honestly, textbooks about it. Just dive in, really get in there, because power is power and power is everything. When there's no power, you become a god. People want your stuff. You can't give them your stuff. Power is the difference between you and everybody else with the lights off. If you have a CPAP machine or something that you need to have power on, probably should get a backup generator. Probably should start looking into solar power. Probably start getting a wind turbine or two to start saving up some of those spare energy and some batteries. Get some old car batteries and parallel them or sequence them however you want. Because when the power goes out and there's no chance of it actually ever coming back on, you're gonna need those things. I'd also recommend downloading, like I said before, different survival books, preparedness books, things of that nature. Even just to kind of touch on, because I've already mentioned the different Zim articles for KeyWix I've downloaded and all the different videos I've gotten. I also have downloaded, let's see, I want to say it's about 100 gigabytes, but this is more of a just in case type of thing. In case I need to get into something that I know I shouldn't, but I need to at the time because martial law is instilled and I need access to it, is I have 10 gigabytes of word lists. These are just different brute force word lists that I have in downloaded over several years. 2FA be damned. Most people don't use it. The people that do, good for you. However, if I need to get into your shit, I'm going to probably brute force it with some 200,000 some odd passwords. And then eventually get into your account so I can have your data as well as my data and back your data up, et cetera. Also, I recommend downloading ISO images. ISO images are great. I have a Windows VM, I have Mac OS, I have multiple Linux flavors downloaded, whether it be Debian Stable, Debian Testing, Livedisk, Fedora, Kali and Parrot Linux, Kube, Slackware, Tails, different server ISOs. Pretty much, if you look at the top 10 DistroWatch. I probably have that ISO. And I do those things because, A, live disks are always very functional and useful at any given time if you just need to have access to a computer and you don't have access to a password for that computer. Keep those in your pocket, you have a computer. It's also very good that if you would want to run, say for example, a local server and my internet is up and my wife doesn't have Linux and doesn't want to use Linux and doesn't want to learn how to use Linux, and that is fine. But she also wants to watch all of the movies and all of the music and all of the games that I have saved on my hard drives, but they're only accessible in some cases on Linux, like ROMs and different video games and stuff like that. I can boot into a live image, and it has all of my applications saved. It's in a direct copy of my hard drive. I can go ahead and plug that in, and she has now access to all of the things. I have also quite a few games, different ROMs, things like that, Super NES, Nintendo DS, NES, Nintendo 64, Game Boy Advance. I have all of those, all of the Sony PlayStation games, things that I can kill time with. Some are educational. Audiobooks, I think, are very important to have. I have quite a few audiobooks downloaded. I want to say, let's see, 200 gigabytes of audiobooks. Things that I can listen to in the background. Music as well, different types of podcasts, radio stations. There are radio programs like on NPR that you can download in collective throughout all the years that they have ever digitally transcribed. You can download all of those programs. So if you have a local radio, that's great. Doesn't mean that someone's always broadcasting on that local radio station, however. So sometimes you want to go back and listen to Away with Words on NPR, or all of the Art Bell collection, or different TED Talk, radio conversations. I like talk radio a lot. I also have several radio stations that believe there's 10 years of radio station archives that I've downloaded, just different music that was playing in the top 10 charts on different local radio stations that they, digitally transcribed all of their old content, and I downloaded it, and so now I have 10 years worth of local radio station content from 2015 to 2024 that I can go back and listen to. And imagine a fonder time back when the world wasn't on fire. I would also, download your favorite music artists, whether it be ABBA or Madonna or what have you. Download all of those things. You can go back and listen to them and feel better, just to fill the background space and background noise with on offline content. Well, since I have rambled into the void for about 33 minutes at this point, I feel like this was something that is very rarely ever talked about. I feel like it's very necessary to talk about it, however. It's always good to have these things available. It's always good to have these things backed up and backed up again, and then have an offline backup for those things. Because eventually there will be a time where you can't have access to the internet, you don't have access to the grid, you don't have access to power. And when all the things fail and it comes down to you and survival and entertaining your family and not going insane when you're bugged in, even though you still have to go to work in the morning. Thanks to 2020, I feel like that's a very easy thing to imagine. Download as much as you can, as frequently as you can. Start data hoarding, but data hoard responsibly. Data hoard the content you know you will enjoy, that your family will enjoy, and that you can get information or value out of. Don't download things for the sake of not, just for downloading them. Download things that are worthwhile. I'm going to eventually write a deeper article about how to do those things, how I personally have done them, different resources to use to, when you're downloading all of this content and saving all of this content, and different things you can do with the content afterwards. Do not fall for the shill game that a lot of these prepper communities try to sell, where it's a $2,000 Toshiba Toughbook with Kiwix installed. Don't fall for that. Do it yourself. Stay safe, stay spooky. I hope you have a good rest of your night.